It's September 22nd, 2022, and this is your DSR Daily Brief. I'm Grant Haver.
And I'm Chris Cotnor.
Our top stories today. Russian police are reported to have arrested hundreds of protesters rallying against the Kremlin's decision to call up thousands of extra troops to fight in Ukraine. Russian human rights group OVD Info put the total at more than 1,300. The largest number arrested were in St. Petersburg and Moscow. Earlier this week, Russia's president ordered a partial mobilization, meaning some 300,000 military reservists, but not conscripts, will be drafted to bolster Russia's forces who have suffered recent battlefield reverses in Ukraine. Flights out of Russia sold out fast after this announcement, and pictures on social media showed long queues at border posts. On Google, the search for "How to Leave Russia" skyrocketed. I've said this previously, but we should do everything we can to help Russians desert their police state, especially if they've been fighting for freedom and democracy. This will prevent more people from being conscripted into service in Ukraine and will continue to weaken Putin's regime internally. We need to take this opportunity as a leverage point to push against the cracks in the system.
Kiev and Moscow have conducted a major prisoner swap, with 215 Ukrainian and foreign fighters released in exchange for more than 50 Russian prisoners, Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky announced overnight on Wednesday. The prisoner swap included nearly 200 soldiers who defended Mariupol and its Azovstal steelworks in exchange for 55 Russian soldiers and pro-Kremlin Ukrainian oligarch Viktor Medvedchuk, a close Putin ally. Medvedchuk was arrested in April, accused of high treason, according to Zelensky. An earlier attempt to exchange Medvedchuk for Ukrainian soldiers was dismissed by the Kremlin. Five military commanders, including leaders of the Azovstal defense, were taken to Turkey as negotiated with its president, Recep Tayyip Erdogan. Zelensky thanked Erdogan for his role in the exchange.
There have been many speeches at this week's UN General Assembly. However, some of the more moving were from Pacific Island countries who are racing to save their nations from drowning. That's the reality of climate change. Some people get to talk about it from afar, while others must live it every day. The Prime Minister of Tuvalu and the President of the Marshall Islands tried to show that reality yesterday on the sidelines of the General Assembly. Together, they launched the Rising Nations Initiative, a global partnership aimed to preserve the sovereignty, heritage, and rights of Pacific Atoll nations whose very existence have been threatened by climate change. This is the first time in history that the collective action of many nations will have made several sovereign countries uninhabitable, said the Prime Minister of Tuvalu.
Elsewhere, Lebanese banks will remain shut indefinitely due to a lack of security protection by authorities, say their association. The announcement by the Association of Lebanese Banks follows a string of raids by customers demanding access to frozen savings last week. It said their employees faced risks which had not been mitigated. A woman armed with a toy gun staged a holdup at a bank on Wednesday to pay for family medical bills. Lebanon is in a severe economic crisis, with more than 80% of the population struggling to afford food and medicine. Banks have limited withdrawals of dollars since 2019, when the value of the Lebanese pound plummeted and inflation soared.
A Malaysian defense contractor known as Fat Leonard, who orchestrated one of the largest bribery scandals in U.S. military history, has been arrested in Venezuela. An international manhunt has been launched for Leonard Glenn Francis earlier this month after he fled the U.S. ahead of his scheduled sentencing for his role in the massive bribery scandal involving dozens of U.S. naval officials. Francis pleaded guilty in 2015 to offering prostitution services luxury travel, hotels, lavish meals, and more than $500,000 in bribes to U.S. naval officials and others to help the Singapore-based ship servicing company Glen Defense Marine Asia Limited, or GDMA, secure lucrative U.S. naval contracts. Prosecutors said the company then overcharged the Navy by at least $35 million for servicing U.S. ships, many of which were routed to ports he controlled in the Pacific with the assistance of officials receiving his bribes.
Consumer inflation in Sri Lanka accelerated to 70.2% in August, the Statistics Department has said, as the island nation reels under its worst economic crisis in decades. Food prices climbed 84.6%, while prices of non-food items rose 57.1% in the tourism-dependent South Asian country of 22 million people. The Central Bank of Sri Lanka in August said the inflation rate would moderate after peaking at about 70% as the country's economy slowed. Sri Lanka's economy shrank 8.4% in the quarter through June from a year ago, and one of the steepest declines seen in a three-month period amid fertilizer and fuel shortages. The country earlier this month reached a preliminary deal with the International Monetary Fund for a loan of $2.9 billion, contingent on it receiving financing assurances from official creditors and negotiations with private creditors.
South African President Cyril Ramaphosa had an urgent meeting scheduled for his cabinet yesterday to discuss the country's electricity crisis, which has led to unprecedented levels of nationwide power blackouts in Africa's most developed economy. The troubled state-owned power utility Eskom, which produces about 95% of the country's electricity, is implementing scheduled rolling blackouts in an attempt to save electricity while struggling to keep aging and poorly maintained coal-fired power stations operational. Eskom had started implementing Stage 6 power cuts, a level that means businesses and homes go without electricity for more than 10 hours a day. The company has since reduced the level to Stage 5, which only requires South Africans to go without power for up to 8 hours a day.
In lighter news, a Florida highway had to temporarily close Wednesday after a semi-trailer carrying cases of Coors Light crashed and turned the roadway into a silver sea of beer cans. The multi-vehicle crash occurred shortly after 6 a.m. in the southbound lanes of Interstate 75, about 30 miles north of Tampa, the Florida Highway Patrol said in a news release. The pileup began when one semi-trailer clipped another while changing lanes. That forced other semis to brake, but one failed to stop and collided with a pickup truck and another one of the stopping semis. The semi that failed to stop was filled with cases of the Silver Bullet beer. Minor injuries were reported by the occupants of the pickup truck, the news release said.
That's all the news we have for you today. Be sure to rate, review, and subscribe so that more people can find the show. If you have a tip, topic, or correction you'd like to flag for us, please email us at podcasts@thedsrnetwork.com. Members of the DSR Network will receive an evening newsletter version of the DSR Daily Brief and bonus weekend briefs. This weekend, we'll be talking with Angela Stent, author of Putin's World, about the latest news coming from Russia. If you're already a DSR member, head over to the Slack to send us your questions. If you aren't a member, go to thedsrnetwork.com and become a member to make sure you never miss any of our analysis. If you want more in-depth discussion of these issues, be sure to follow the links in the show notes to read our sources and tune into our sister podcasts on the DSR Network. Stay safe and stay tuned to the DSR Daily Brief.